All right, we are at 5:03, so we will go ahead and get started. And we will go ahead and have our Pledge of Allegiance from the Hillcrest.
Will the audience please join me in repeating the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. And I'm not sure, do you want to tell us your name? And I'm assuming you go to Hillcrest, and what your favorite subject is.
My name is Keaton, and my favorite subject is math.
All right, thank you for coming and helping us with the Pledge of Allegiance today. We have our consent agenda, but we had some technical issues. We were not able to review that, so the board will put the consent agenda approval on the next board meeting. We will publish a draft of that to be available, but it will not be approved until next board meeting. So we will go ahead and get started with our delegations. And first we have our PTA from Hillcrest Junior High and Jody Mishmash and friends.
Okay, I'm Jody Mishmash and I'm the PTA president at Hillcrest Junior High this year. As a PTA at the junior high, this year we're trying to continue to support the clubs. At the junior high last year, the debate club was formed, and so we're continuing to support that. And also other clubs are the book club, dance club, art club, ready group, chess club, stage crew, improv club, math Olympiad. And so as the PTA, we're going to create a flyer and have it sent out through the principal's email and also on PeachJar, so that, because we had some people not really knowing about all these things that we had there, and so it'll be there to inform the parents and students on where they are held and the times and all that stuff. And so that's one thing that we're doing. Also, the PTA helped with picture day and vision screening, and we have a really awesome volunteer coordinator, and she's going to help us get volunteers for Reality Town. Recently, the PTA supported the teachers with dinners, and I think those are really appreciated, and we appreciate the input from our teacher rep, Victoria Bean, and she said we didn't have very many vegetarian meals, and there's a lot of vegetarian teachers, and so next time we're going to make improvements and try to create a better menu so that all teachers can be supported in that. Next week is Red Ribbon Week, and we have an awesome commissioner for that. Her name's Fabiola Bush. She has a lot of fun lunchroom activities that she's doing, and she is like hand making these sashes for the students to wear, and they just say a bunch of different things, and they're just kind of an example of being drug and alcohol free. And they have she got a speaker. Her name's Bobby Anderson from Parents Empowered, and she this woman actually had her son die from underage drinking, and so she's going to come and talk on Tuesday to the ninth graders, and I think that's going to be really awesome to hear her. I saw a little clip of her on when she showed us to it at the PTA meeting that we had on Tuesday, and so I think it's going to really make a big impact on those students. We will also continue to support Reflection, Science Fair, and Spelling Bee, and we are trying this year to work a little harder with the teachers to have them help kind of promote it and possibly offer a little bit of extra credit to do a project in those areas, because Science Fair was new last year and we only had one entry, and so we're trying to get some more teacher support, and so that we can have more people have that opportunity to do that. And then in February, they used to call it a fundraiser, but now it's kind of turned into a fun activity for the students to come and buy things. It's around Valentine's Day to give to their students to kind of just as a fun activity. And then I brought some of the kids from Student Council with me because we have invited them to our PTA meetings now, and Victoria Bean is their advisor, and she comes in and brings one of the student reps, and they talk about what they've been doing in the school, and so we try to see how we can support them in any way. And so I brought these two to kind of let you know what they've been doing to promote, good attitudes towards school and to help other kids feel like they're welcome and create participation in the things that they do.
So we went to this leadership camp a few weeks ago, and there was like a whole bunch of activities. There was the Utah Student Council, and they led a whole bunch of activities that we went to, and they were just basically saying each activity was stuff to help our school, ways we can help our school. So we went to that, and then we just recently did social media awareness week. Was this week? We did some lunch activities for that, and then we
helped out with seventh grade.
Seventh grade day, yeah.
We made some posters, and we had our little red carpet for when they come, just so that they feel more welcome and it's less nerve-wracking for their first day. So then some of the stuff that we have coming up that we're going to work on is Spirit Week is coming up really soon. It's the first week in November. And we're just having different activities for that, some lunch activities, having the students compete against each grade with whoever dresses up. And we have, in the first week of January, we're doing a showcase, and it's just a super fun activity. We have food trucks, games, music. It's we have the dance they perform, and students in art, or even if they do art in other classes, math coloring pages or something, they have all that art up to show. It's a really fun night for students and parents to see what they've done so far.
We are helping out with the PTA a little bit with Red Ribbon Week next week. And
we helped out with parent-teacher conferences. We had a cart with different treats on it and just brought it around to the teachers to make sure they were doing all right and if they needed anything. And that's about all.
That day field trip coming up too.
Oh yeah, we're going to the, I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but it's just to compete against other schools for different, to learn about nutrition and different healthy eating options. And it's with the school that wins, they get a $4,000 prize for their school. So we'll be at that soon.
Coming up.
So it's about
all right. Thank you, ladies. Can you tell us your names?
I'm Zoe.
And I'm Abby.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming today. And Jody, Miss Mishmash, thank you for coming today. And it sounds like a lot of good things are going on at Hillcrest. And we'll recognize, thanks, not used to say Mr. Bauman at Hillcrest, but thanks for being here. And then Assistant Principal Miss Orm. So thank you for being here. All right. We will go to MEA, Christy Vike. Otherwise known as AJ's mom to me.
Not always a good thing, right? So the MEA wanted to share an exciting thing that we get to be a part of this year. They received a grant from NEA for the Early Leadership Institute. And it's a grant that they're participating in along with some of the associations, I think Tooele and Salt Lake, where they can have, it's to provide leadership opportunities to coach and mentor young teachers in being involved in the association and other leadership opportunities. And we have 8 teachers who applied and were accepted to the program. We have Courtney Averett and Tiana Bagley, Jessica DeMann, Ryan Mintz, Eric Names, Sarah Paul, Sierra Schoen, and Leah Smith. Awesome. And ironically, it worked out 4 secondary, 4 elementary, so that was a good mix. And they'll work closely with a mentor who is also our vice president on MEA, that's Amy Roberts, and So we wanted to make the board aware of this and the district as one of the things that they'll have these new teachers doing is reaching out to maybe talk to you about your roles in education and in the district. And we just want to make you aware of that and also just thank you in advance if they contact you for the assignments they may have in that grant fulfillment. So thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, Ms. Orm from MASA? MASA? All these acronyms.
This time, MASA doesn't have anything currently to report on, but thank you for you guys' continued support as always. You've guys done plenty and continue to do plenty for us, so thank you. As far as any future reports, I guess that'll be coming forth. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know. I dual roles today.
And MESPA, we didn't have anybody from MESPA. And Jeannie Foundation, hiding in the back.
It's relatively easy for me to hide.
I've got one. I've got it on my computer right here. I typed it up, so I know. Oh, he's pretty familiar. There's a lot this year.
Okay, so as you can see, these are the grant applications that were approved this year. And to be very honest and frank, this is literally double what we normally do.
There's,
so,
like I just said, there are a lot.
Sorry?
There are a lot.
Yes.
My first.
There are. And so, but we went ahead, we felt that they were very good grants, and we had about $25,000 for the golf tournament. We had some left over from last year of the golf tournament funds. And then, you know, we have a general account that, you know, we can use once in a while. So anyway, it was really fun. I've gotten some really nice notes back from teachers. It's just a lot of fun. So this is kind of like the payday for everybody, right? So anyway, if you have any questions, let me know. Secondly, March 12th, Pinnacle, we're on to the next one. So, and yes, it is board meeting, and I said this last time, but, you know, I know you'll be there with bells on after board meeting. And you can have a short board meeting that night, right? That's the way it works.
Yeah, it works.
So, anyway, we appreciate it, and thank you so much for being there. And anything else, let me know.
Do you want to tell them about the school
grants?
Oh,
I guess we should tell you about the school grants, too. So this year, the foundation has decided to go ahead and GLOW, I know, remembers that the legislature, part of the reason the foundation started back in the olden days was because we had
I'm from the olden days?
Well, I remember it. So if it takes one to know one. And so, anyway, that many years ago, they had legislative money that they gave $1,000 per school to the foundation, and then we divvied it out to the schools. And it was really a lot of fun. And we decided, since we have some money and we've invested it in the last year, that we've made some money, and we decided to send it out to the schools in the form of that kind of grant. So each of the principals wrote in for a $1,000 grant. And those also went out on Tuesday. So all the schools got $1,000. Plus, we got these. Plus, the Laura Baker grants are coming in. We just got money all over the place. So it's all good, right?
Good news.
Anyway, okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeannie. This foundation, it looks like about $40,000 is put back into the schools directly to the teachers. So that's wonderful. That's directly in the hands of the teachers to get to use they need.
And also to let you know, we used how we sent it out this year was through Class Wallet. So I know that we're using that this year, and we thought that would be a good way to, but their principals will sign off on it as usual, And so that was a nice way to get it out to the individual teachers. So, okay. Oh, and one more thing. As you look down this river view, if you on the second page, if you look about a third of the way down, it shows you that we gave $3,000 to Riverview for heredity, the FOSS kits. That is also in conjunction with Hillcrest. So Hillcrest is using it just as much as Riverview is. So I wanted you to know that it's not just Riverview. It's going to also to Hillcrest. Okay? Everything else, I think, is the way it looks. So
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Right. Do we have... I can't get my frog out of my throat. Do we have any patron statements? All right. We will start with the report of our board. We'll start down here, Jaron.
Been busy the last couple of weeks trying to recruit committee members for the facility planning, and I think we've got from the schools I was assigned to ready to go. So looking forward to getting that moving forward.
I think it's going to be exciting for the committee, but also I very much like going to the USBA and learning more about what we can do with the legislature to have better communication and maybe get more money into our schools next year. So that was really a wonderful event.
Thanks, Chloe. Elizabeth?
Survived parent-teacher conferences. And I really enjoyed going to McMillan to celebrate their Blue Ribbon School. That was a really great event.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would just second what Glo said. I think we've had some really good meetings lately. USBA was a very informative meeting about legislation. And yesterday, Cammie said it well, sometimes our coordinating council meeting is the same. And yesterday we had some really good discussions about high-density housing and some different vaping in our schools, some really good discussions that I think the city brought things to our attention and we brought things to the city. That was a good meeting.
Right. Piggybacking off that, I heard today that they had a summit with up in Park City with Mitt Romney, a few people talking about vaping in the schools and what can be done to help that. So we've recognized the Murray City Police have brought it to our attention. The district has brought it to attention that's just a really huge problem right now and not as many tools as we'd like to be able to help these students realize. So hopefully the legislature will help us and then we can help students. So, all right. Well, that is it. And anybody that doesn't want to stay for the rest of it are welcome to leave or you're welcome to stay. So you guys can stay and enjoy this fun stuff or you're welcome to leave. But we'll turn the time over to Darren, and I hope he has good news for us.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, me too. Richard, I think all signs point to yes from the information I've received before.
Just look at Rich, and if Rich has a smile, then it's a good sign, right?
Does Rich smile?
Does Rich smile?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does once in a while.
Once in a while?
He usually, every day he comes in and has a nice positive comment for me.
And that's just one.
When we were at that... the USBA, we talked with Tooele, and they have 1,000 extra students this year. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, we don't quite have 1,000.
They don't know where to put their students.
Yeah. I don't know if we want that dilemma.
No, I don't know.
That's like an Alpine dilemma.
Yeah, they have 5,000 extra students over the last 5 years.
Wow.
That's a lot of students.
All right, so mine's just give us a picture of where we are. Yes, and there is some good news. We do have an increase, so... Oh, that's cut off on that side. Well, I think you can tell what school is what. The numbers are more important.
This one.
Oh, perfect. So just so we are up 163 kids over last year, and so that's the full count. That includes all of our special education students, and then it's broken down by schools, and you can see where we had. Everywhere was an increase. Parkside had a decrease, and this is off our October 1 report, which is our funding report that goes up to the state. So Rich was pretty happy today because he's like, hey, I like those numbers. So you can kind of see where we're at now. What drives that enrollment is the harder question. I wish I could ascertain that. I was trying to find if there's a quick way to find out how many AISU students come in, but I'm not a, I don't know if there's an expert way to dig into our data to find out where that piece of information is that said they transferred from this school and came into this school, and how many we received back. And I can stay on that longer if you want me to stay longer. Ethnicity, race, just a picture of where our district is. It's a pretty static picture. It's slowly been, well, maybe it's not as static as I think. I need to add it up in my head right now. Slowly creeping up. Our diversity's been creeping up over time. It looks like the Hispanic, Latino, it was about 20% last year. It's still staying there, Indian American. You can see those percentages. And so kind of gives you just a portrait of the diversity of our district with the race and ethnicity of where we're at. And it, over time, and I didn't put together the historical this time, but over time it has been kind of just on a steady increase, I think, probably in line with the state and the general population. The next one, just how many special education students we have in the district. Remember, we have 6,425 students, so 872 of those are special ed, and I think it came out to like about 14%. Our limited English proficient, that's what we have. Those that are claiming they're immigrants, 284, are homeless. Youth in custody are those that are in foster care situations. And then our foreign exchange students, we have a cap on that of only 20. The state gives us 4, which are J-1 visas. The other 9 are actually ones we charge a public education fee to, which Rich likes that too, because that's $10,000 a person. So that's $90,000 extra dollars that come to the school to the district to help out. And this year we had a lot, and we did get a lot right at the end. I think with AISU, I know that brought in a number of them, because last year I was thinking we only had a couple.
Three.
Yeah, so there were a lot. Denise was quite busy processing them. So we still have cap room, but we'll see how that goes. So.
Hey, Darren.
Yeah.
So with these numbers, just so I understand, for special education, 872, would that also include anybody that maybe is English as a second language too? So that they could be multiple
they
lines.
Could be.
Yeah, they could.
Okay. Yeah.
They can't belong in just one category.
Yeah, they can belong in multiple categories. Yeah.
A lot of those would be multiple. Yeah, a lot of those would be back.
The next one, I know it's always interesting to see our non-resident student count. And so where they come from, which district. So I guess Alpine doesn't like to give up too many, but they don't have enough schools, so they should give us some more. So further, coming from the south, it's a tough gig. Canyons and Davis, and then you can see Granite. A lot of kids come out of Granite School District to come here, and Jordan, and so just broken down there. So 23% is what we're looking at this year, which is kind of in our general ballpark of where we're at. It's always interesting to see. Ogden, that's a far spell to come from. So the other one is, where are our kids going? So there's, and this is an interesting report, and the report's a few pages PDF, but we have other students from Murray that are going to 71 different schools. I just put down ones that had 15 or more kids at them. I didn't put all 71. 460 kids that live in Murray are going to other schools. So you can see that you have the Ames, then American Preparatory Academy, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5. They've got multiple school programs going. They take a number of students. Blue Peak High and Twill, I believe that's an alternative school. And some of the other ones, Utah Virtual Academy takes a bunch, and so I don't know a lot about all these different schools, but that's where the majority, and then there's another, I mean, I only listed a few of the 71. You'll have 1 going here and 3 going there and 5 going there, so it's just an interesting report to take a look at and see, you know, try and wrap our minds around why are people going elsewhere from Murray, but then we have a lot of people coming in into the schools in Murray also, which is a good thing because we need them, so. I don't know if there's questions.
So there's not at least 15. There's not any just traditional schools.
No,
they're not. They're not
They're not going to. They're not going to traditional.
Taylorsville.
They're not going.
I mean, there's probably a few for each of those.
Yeah, there are some traditional ones, but they're low numbers.
Yeah, really. That is interesting.
What was the number of kids that out from outside of Murray that come to us? I know it was 25%. Oh,
1,497.
So we're still at 1,000 more students than what
we lost. Yeah, still 1,000 more students that will come here over what, So.
Right.
1,000 just from Granite.
Right. Any questions for Darren?
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. And I know, was that in board book or would it
this
be in board book?
I
can you email it to us? It's good numbers to know and remember in the future. I get those questions from time to time and good to know that information. All right, thank you. Mr. Bushnell, you're up.
Richard, will you
and Robin.
Switch it over?
It says teaching and learning.
So, Richard, Scott will be first.
Scott,
and then
you haven't reported for a while.
Well, thank you. I'm
Let's
here
put
tonight,
the timer
so.
On. I mean, did I say that out loud?
I heard that.
You've been very, very low-key lately.
I guess that's a good thing. Thank you. Yeah, these guys call it quiet. Our last official board meeting, not
Don't
the
cry.
Study session, but our last official board meeting, we had a request to conduct research come in. I think that is in your board book, and you hopefully had a chance to at least look.
Board book did not work, so I've got it pulled up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So.
That was our whole technical problem.
Us a little
Thank you.
Overview
yep.
of it.
Yeah. So actually, in this case, I'm going to ask someone that knows and understands this research request much better than I. Kelly, can you come up if you don't mind? Let me just mention, Jen, if you can page down to the bottom of page 2, it is right here, the purpose. Mm-hmm. The purpose of this study is to investigate the effects of content-focused professional development. They have a site there to improve special education teachers' fraction knowledge, mathematical practices, fidelity of implementation, and self-efficacy for teaching mathematics. This study will seek to answer the following. And then there's three sets of questions or research questions, I would call them, under the teacher level, and then there's a set under the student level. And what I'd like to do, we had some concern because as a teaching and learning team, because this seemed very time intensive, and we weren't sure how it would affect our teachers and the students. So we asked Kelly to more clearly define that since it was coming out of their special education department up at the U. And she brought in Emily Horn, who's a specialist in our district with special education. Emily has participated with this group in previous research, and she was very clear about the importance of the professional development that they as teachers receive through this research process. So that helped us understand a little bit better as a teaching and learning team how important this is, not only to students and understanding students and what helps them best in the classroom, in the special ed classroom, but also how to help teachers with some specifics in professional development. With that, I'll leave this up here and I'll let Kelly.
So he said that Emily Horn had been a part of this. So probably 5 years or so ago, we partnered with them on their first research, which was just the fact piece of this. And actually, at that time, we actually did it with gen ed and special ed in that research. This time, they're only going to do special ed. They're adding a new piece to that with some additional research and evidence-based practices. But this goes back to some evidence they found where kids that struggled in math in later grades had no foundation in their fraction skills. And so what they do is they take our kids in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade and they'll assess them and see who are those kids missing those foundational skills, and we'll pick a group of kids that are really missing those skills, and then they would be the kids that get this intervention. So it's an intervention they would get as a part of their special ed math intervention. The thing about this that is so cool is that it is going to help them fill in those missing foundational fraction skills, as well as gives them a method for problem solving, which will be able to attack all math problem solving. And in addition to that, there's a writing intervention piece. So it makes them take their information from, here's my problem, what do I need from the information I have, what do I need to get, what do I need to do, here's how I'm going to solve it, and here's the solution. And they write it all out. And Emily will tell you, she and Carrie Holmholt was another one that was a part of this when we did it before. She was our general ed person, and the the increase, I mean, Emily will tell, these kids came back after this intervention with skills that she would have never thought that they would have been able to do. And so it increased their writing as well as their math skills. And right now for us, math is a huge area we're trying to focus on with our students with disabilities to get them so that they are in that core and achieving in the math core. So we're excited to do this again with them. And yes, the time is initially there's an initial PD that they'll do. And then the time is the intervention they'll actually do, but they'll have doctorate students there with them, teaching and coaching them all along the way. So for them, they're coming out of it with skills that they'll be able to carry on with other groups of kids for years to come.
Okay.
Any
Thanks.
Questions or?
Awesome. It just sounds like.
We were excited that they asked us again and that to go to their second part of this. So.
Well, it's interesting. Just today, my daughter was telling me, so she's a sophomore at college. She has a friend who's doing Pathways. And she said, Mom, I sat with her today, or this week, and she didn't know how to add numbers that were three digits or round, and she's 19 years old. And she said, she says she's stupid. And Elizabeth says, I told her, no, somebody failed you. Because somebody should have picked that up, that you didn't know how to do that.
And you can still learn it.
And she goes, oh, okay, I get it. I can do it. But that she could have been one of these kids that got that gap filled for her. So
they use a best teaching strategy that with the writing piece. It's incredible. And these kids, I mean, turn out to be, and then that writing carries over into everything. So yeah. It's great.
Right. Thank you, Kelly. Mm-hmm. And Scott, do we need to take a motion on this?
We do.
Okay. So I'll take a motion on the request to conduct research.
I move that I can't even remember the words now that we use. I move that we approve the request for research by Melinda Tolbert.
Yeah, I second it.
Okay. And any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Perfect. Right.
Thank you. We'll let Melinda Tolbert know that this was passed tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Robin, I guess you're the pick student questionnaire.
And I actually have to giggle a little bit that Jen put it in the board agenda as the pick questionnaire because the actual program is called Jerk and Jerkettes.
Oh, well, it's just pick, P-I-C-K.
And it is called the pick survey. And actually, this is not in the nice, tidy box of saying that it's a request to do research. This is actually a high school program that addresses healthy dating relationships that would be used in our health curriculum, the 10th grade class that we have for students. The reason that I chose to bring it before you is because it is an outside agency with Utah State University and their extension department. They come in and deliver the program to our students. It is used throughout the high schools across the state, and again, addresses healthy dating relationships with students. It does not have any curriculum that is related to sex or the teaching of sexuality, with the exception of talking about things such as force or coercion that are unwanted parts of relationships. So again, it's not one of those that we have to have a committee and that we need to necessarily be concerned other than those topics sometimes come up as they talk about healthy boundaries that we have with one another. The program, with being partnered with Utah State University and their extension department, they do have grants and funding that comes from showing that their programs are making a difference for students. So they their parameters are that they send home an outline to parents along with a copy of the survey that they will be asking students. Questions about whether or not they are currently dating, if they have had, and actually some fairly personal questions about the relationship and how they have felt about those relationships. And from there, after parents have looked at that and had opportunity to review the surveys, parents can actually choose for their students to still participate in the class and have their student not take the survey. And the surveys are also optional for the students. So there's a lot of different places that a student or a parent can say, you know what, this isn't something that we really want to do, and participate that way. But again, where they go with the term research is that they do give the survey at the beginning and at the end of the coursework, and hopefully showing that they've made a difference in helping students establish boundaries and know what healthy relationships look like with one another. They do randomly reach out to former students through their parents and ask if they'll come in for a follow-up survey, and that's not all of the students. That's a handful of students, and it was explained to me that sometimes it's not even every high school, but that they go back and interview students at a later point in time to find out their reactions and learning that they had to the program and whether or not they felt like it was helpful. So with that being said, again, the program is Jerk and Jerkette. And what questions might you have of me?
I would like to be a jerkette.
No, Chloe, you wouldn't.
I said how to not fall for jerks.
Let me go back up.
Yeah.
But it does say pick, so I didn't know.
So this is something that will be given in the 10th grade.
Correct, class. In 10th grade.
And this is the questionnaire right here.
This one... they have a pre and a post.
This
I needed to look at the very top.
Yep, yep, I can do a post.
Appreciate the kids because they don't, I feel like even my own kids are figuring this out in college. Like, mm-hmm. Let's start talking to them about healthy boundaries earlier.
And has the health teachers taken a look at it at all, or is it just?
They have. It's actually Randy Corres, who is new to Murray High School, has been a longtime teacher in Tooele, mm-hmm. and was using this curriculum. And when he reached out to me, I told him we had a process we needed to go through, but he wanted to just hit the ground and use it immediately. So, again, I consider this more of a formality because it doesn't really fall under the IRB and the research guidelines. But it is something new. It is an outside agency, and they are asking students and parents to see and the students to participate in a survey.
Has there been much pushback from this and other districts that we're aware of that have used it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-mm. Any other questions?
I would propose that we allow the 10th graders to have this curriculum.
Do we need a motion to vote on this?
I don't know that we need a motion. I think we just wanted you to be aware, and if there were any concerns that you had, because you may have, you know, parents. But
it is all going to be communicated to the parents.
Exactly.
And they have the opportunity to opt out if it's something they do not feel comfortable with. All right. Any other questions, concerns? All right.
Thank you.
All right, we will turn the time over to our superintendent.
We are so excited to welcome our state superintendent on Monday. So just a reminder, Superintendent Sydney Dixon is coming on Monday. With her will also be Deputy Superintendent Angie Stallings. And Angie Stallings is a former Murray student. And Dr. Dixon did work in Murray City School District. So they are both very much excited. I will send out a specific agenda to you as the board, but I just kind of want to let you know what we have set up for her. We're going to meet here at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have bagels and juice and just have people from the district office come in and greet her. And then we will be going to Liberty Elementary, Murray High School, McMillan Elementary, Parkside Elementary, Hillcrest Junior High. So we've got a pretty rigorous day. She's going to be seeing some of our restorative circles, our 95% group, our Spartan Flex class, how technology is being used, some of our current enrollment classes, our school success model, our magnet program, mindfulness in the classroom. She's actually going to participate with that with Michelle Bauman in an actual classroom with teachers and students. We are having lunch here, remember, at noon. And so we will be over in the professional development room. If we're a few minutes late, just wait for us. We'll be coming, I promise. And then we're still working out the agenda of what she's going to see at Hillcrest Junior High School. So we are excited to have her. And again, I will send this to all of you just so you know where we're going to be and if you wanted to stop in on any of those. The principals have been amazing as I reached out to principals. I think everybody wanted her to come, but we had to kind of centralize it and compartmentalize it to make sure that we could get everywhere that we wanted to be. So we're excited to have her.
And is that something that we come to the luncheon, I know, but do we come to all the others?
You don't need to come to all the others. If you want to, you're welcome to. What will happen is that I will go with both Superintendent Dixon and Assistant Superintendent Stallings, and then we will meet up with the principal at each school, and the principal will go with us. But you're welcome to come. I mean, if you wanted to pop in on any of these, you are more than welcome to come. So. So that was that. And then I would like to request that we go into closed session to discuss personnel and property.
All right. I will pull the board. Jaron?
Yes.
Yes.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay. So we will go into closed session starting at 6 o'clock.
Or we can start early because we've got a few things. Yeah. Okay. And I would just ask, we need Robin and Mr. Dean and Mr. Bushnell to stay for that.
So we will go into closed session after a 5-minute break.
Great.